North Carolina, first in flight.
About gaining control of your life and letting go at the same time. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball. Grip it and rip it.
But this week, it's all about ball flight, bogeys, and birdies.
Watch the birdie.
This is Dirt and Sprague on PGA Championship Week.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in the second hour of the radio program here on a Flop Shot Fast Break. Football. Our beloved Timbers get ready for big action.
RCTID. RCTID.
WNBA season starts
this weekend, huh? We got a tip-off in the tonight. WNBA.
Yeah. Tonight. There's three games tonight. Three games. You'll see Paige Becker's debut at 4:30.
When's Caitlin Clark playing?
That's
right
Saturday.
After, right. Oh.
Or on Saturday, yeah.
Saturday, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very cool.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
We do.
We'll talk with our buddy Shane Riordan in Chicago.
Hey, what's going on with the Bears, man?
Hey, the Bears.
The Bears.
He'll give us his thoughts at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker. Want to remind you guys, your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th Annual Fan Golf Classic is right around the corner, Tuesday, June 24th. Brought to you by Henderson and Daughter Windows and Doors, and Philbrook Law, Accident and Injury Lawyers. Matt's Barbecue will be on hand. Victor Rico's will be on hand. So we'll be hanging out with some good food options for you all day. You can find your foursomes at 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. And don't forget to do the secret bid. We just added it to the website at 1080thefan.com. You can bid anonymously. The highest bidder will meet swag in the red shed. Four.
Assless chaps. Is that what we're going with?
Golf polo.
Golf polo.
Lots of mud balls.
Assless. Whoa. I didn't need that today.
You know, you're so mature, and then you got to add that kind of commentary. You sick freak. So we'll get to something that I'm excited for that Dirt is going to completely crap on.
Ooh, I'm going to poo-poo something today? No, that's not me. I never poo-poo.
Who is more nervous, Knicks fans tonight or Thunder fans Sunday?
I think Knicks fans tonight probably more nervous. I agree with the assessment. Like, if I were a fan of either, I'm trying to, like, where would my nervous energy be at? I would have at least the saving grace of New York is as well, but you're playing at home in a game seven. You're the better team. You got the MVP. Like, there's a lot of things that would make me feel somewhat confident if I'm an OKC fan. The Knicks have known nothing but heartbreak. Like, OKC doesn't even really have fans. They were gifted a championship contending team. I hate that city. I hate that organization. Just rolled out the red carpet. Let's have Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. Look at that. We're great fans.
6-1 in game sevens at home.
Like, dude, the Knicks have been through how many kicks in the nut? Like, if you're a 40-year-old Knicks fan, all you know is heartbreak and disappointment. That's your entire life. And so.
Thanks, James Dolan.
Yeah, I think there's a nervous energy there. You win, you're like, okay, I wasn't nervous at all. Just kidding. We all had confidence, but boy, oh boy, I would be nervous for tonight.
Oklahoma City probably doesn't deserve any, hey, they're probably nervous. They stole somebody's team, and they've had nothing but good teams for the most part since they moved there.
Well, they had a tank for like 2 years.
Yeah. Not easy, Dirt.
Not easy to handle.
But they're sitting in a spot last night where they just, outside of SGA and a little bit of Dort.
Yeah, not a lot there.
Man.
Not a lot there. The whole game flipped, I thought, in the last 2 minutes of the first half when SGA picked up his fourth foul, which was a really dumb foul. And it just, from then on, I know Dort hit the three right at the end of the first half. They kind of gave him the lead.
Snapped a 12-0 run, that
dude,
three.
They were running away from it at the end of the quarter, and you're like, damn, here goes OKC. And then he fouls the fourth foul, and then Denver went on a run. And just like that, going into the second half, it was an even game.
That fourth foul, I mean, you cannot be that level of player and commit that foul.
He's never done that in his playoff career, committed four fouls.
It was so stupid.
Yeah, just loose ball. He grabbed the arm. And you could tell immediately he wasn't frustrated at the ref. He was like, ah, why did I do that?
Yeah, because his coach was like, you want me a challenge? And he's like, nah,
no, I grabbed his arm. I did it.
Now, SGA with a dumb foul there, but SGA was pretty awesome for him.
He was.
The game seven on Sunday, what are they going to get from J-Dub and Chet? Are they going to get anything?
That's the whole problem with OKC.
You're hoping the home crowd and all of those sorts of elements that go into a game seven will.
How many situations have like the future and their offseason is dictated by one moment? Because game seven Sunday, if they win, They go to the West Finals. They will have eliminated the Joker. They certainly can beat the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would bat an eye if they won the NBA Finals.
No.
And if that happens, look at us. We got all our guys. We did it. We won a title.
It's so wild to have it hang on one game.
But if
game,
they lose game seven, that means Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren have not played well.
No.
And now we've got major, massive roster moves to potentially be looking at here.
Maybe back-to-back years as the one seed out in the second round.
Yeah. It's just like so weird that it feels like it's all hinging on that game.
There is a lot of that.
Are we going to go get Giannis or are we going to win the NBA Finals?
I mean, I would hope whether you do that or not, you should still kick the tires on getting Giannis no matter how your season ends.
Dude,
Giannis,
I think you win the finals, you can't trade him.
Why not? Let's go. Stay aggressive.
Okay, so look, Giannis is Giannis, okay?
Giannis is one of one.
But if you win the finals with the group, are you not a believer that, like, all right, they got through the hardest parts of their career,
yeah,
they dug down deep, and they did it, they should be okay going forward in those same moments if it presents itself again.
And, yeah, until Giannis goes to San Antonio, you got to deal with him and Wemby on
him
the same team.
And Wemby are throwing back-to-back lobs to each other.
I'd rather, you know, shake the apple cart a little bit and have Giannis for the next 5 years than have to deal with him in the Western Conference.
Why are they not being thrown in? Wendy threw in the Rockets and Spurs as the easy one, and the Rockets tie-in is Akeem. Giannis has a great relationship with Akeem Olajuwon. I'm not understanding why the Thunder are not in this. They have the best. I think they've got the best stuff to present.
They got a lot of assets to use.
They got all those draft picks from all those stupid teams. They've got these great young players that, like, I know Chet's not having an amazing series. I know Jalen Williams has been up and down.
They're enticing, though.
Really good players to have. I wish we had one of them.
Yes, if you tell me we get Jalen Williams with the 11th overall pick, I'm thrilled.
Well, all of a sudden,
a guy who's averaging 22-5
Jalen Williams
on the year
is your third option on your team. You're feeling pretty good.
Yes. Yeah, dude, that's a great spot to be. If we get him with the 11th overall pick, I'm thrilled.
Dort's
the 12th
now your sixth
pick.
Man, although Dort might go in the trade. But
yeah, you got to make salaries match. But I think to your point, it's what makes Sunday so fascinating, that there's so much on the line for an organization that it's either, and maybe they don't, maybe they lose the game and they don't blow anything up and they bring it back. But if I were a fan, I think seeing back-to-back years of it being the one seed, and then it's one thing to lose. It's another thing, like Denver going into the playoffs fired their coach and their general manager. Like, even NBA Dirt was questioning, why did I believe in this organization? I know Jokic is great, but you can't lose this series as the one seed. You won 68 games this year. You got the best plus minus in the history of the NBA. You're one of the best regular season teams we have ever seen in the history of the sport. And you're playing a team who fired their coach and GM with like 5 days to go in the regular season because they were in a free fall. You cannot lose this series. And if you do, there have to be repercussions.
There has to be. I mean,
you have to make moves.
I will be all in on, like, you cannot run that back. I don't care what the regular season results were. I'd be saying the same thing in Cleveland.
Yes.
We're not running this back. We are tweaking this in some ways.
How good was Jokic last night? My God.
It's amazing.
29 points on 14 shots.
Yep.
God, you felt vindicated, didn't you?
Two assists away from a triple-double. Dominant defensively, like just over the floor.
Do this for
the
me.
The no-look over the shoulder pat, the Sabas pass to Brown for the dunk.
Dude, that pass.
God, he is
on the
so
baseline,
good.
I was like, I literally was like, whoop.
His little running floaters.
So, yeah,
in the
so the question
he's
in
so
game
good,
seven
man.
Is. You expect Jokic to do all that. Does Christian Brown and Julian Strother, can they do that on the road?
Oh, you're counting on Strother. You don't
well,
think
I'd
that's just
it.
A one-off home game performance from
well,
a young
player? Well, that's what I'm asking. Is
I'd
that
flip it
something...
and say they got nothing from Aaron Gordon last night. Can Aaron Gordon play better? So, like, there you can balance it out. Like, Aaron Gordon was terrible last night.
And that's the same thing. Then OKC goes home. Okay, are Jalen Williams and Chet going to bounce
back?
Who
do you trust more? Outside of the ones on each team, because SGA's awesome, Jokic is awesome.
I mean, NBA Dirt's dying on this hill. Give me the championship pedigree.
We've got an MVP off in a Game 7, which is everything we ask for in any sport.
The third, so after Jokic and SGA, who do I trust most of all the remaining players? Probably Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Okay, and then after that? It's probably Aaron Gordon, isn't
probably
it?
Aaron Gordon.
Probably Aaron Gordon.
He's been there.
Because
he
of?
He knows.
Yeah, he's been there. He knows.
He's done it before, man. I've seen him do it before.
Our boss would hire him in a second.
He absolutely would.
You know, guys,
OKC's,
he should be hosting. He's been there. He knows.
OKC's got to win it in the first half. Like, they need to do...
You think game sevens are dictated like that? Because I just don't know if that's how it's going to go.
That's the funny thing about that statement, though, is that what did Denver do in the first half of game 7 against Minnesota last year?
Well, they were up most of the way in the last game at OKC.
And Minnesota had never been there before. Yeah. Anthony Edwards had never done that before, and they choked at home.
I think this is more about the way OKC plays. If they crank up, because in order for them to, if they deliver a knockout or what we think is a knockout punch, it'll be at the defensive end, getting out in transition, running, dunking, all of those sorts of
things.
Who
do you guys want to win?
I want Denver to win.
I want OKC.
I enjoy watching Jokic more than anybody on Oklahoma City.
I want OKC
and I hate that city
win.
And I hate that franchise. And I want them to never have anything nice.
I think OKC Minnesota could be
more entertaining.
A classic Western Conference
now,
finals.
Now, if it's okay, let's just get way ahead of this because we'll react to a game.
I just find it funny that, I mean, I understand the sentiment because how good OKC was. Like, have we not changed our perception at all on Denver? They might win this series on Sunday.
Oh,
they probably have the best player on the planet.
Yes.
I mean, more people are going to pick him to win that game.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I find it funny when we do that sometimes. If OKC Minnesota would be a great series, I'm not disagreeing with you. It would, but if they lose to Denver, is Denver not the better team?
No, Denver's certainly the better team. My daughter, you know, my 13-year-old's been watching more NBA this year, and she was like, she knew the Thunder had a really good season because I've watched a ton of them, and so she's like, how have they played compared to what they were? And I was like, well, the regular season they were one of the best teams I've ever watched in my life,
dominant.
And so if you compare that to the playoffs, it's not been that impressive. They took care of a garbage-ass Grizzly team.
Yeah.
And SGA did not play well in that series.
Yeah.
And here they are again, second round, best team, might be out again, back-to-back years. Not great. So it's a combination of Jokic has been all-time awesome. He's had some stinkers to his...
He did, yeah.
You know, his bar is like LeBron's bar. His, Jokic wasn't good last night. He only had 27, 10, and 7.
Didn't have a 30-point triple-double. What the hell was he doing?
I'd kill a person.
Best thing that helps Denver is the extra day of rest.
Oh, that's huge.
It's massive for them.
It is massive.
Yeah, I think games 2 through 4, if I'm not mistaken, he put some clunkers up. That's
like,
why
he didn't shoot the ball well.
He did other things to help the team win, but that's why it was so shocking when they won game 3 was that he was bad in game 3 offensively.
Yeah.
And they still found a way to win that game in overtime because of the way that they played defense in that extra time. But then he woke up, and that's the fear if I'm an OKC fan, is that he seems to have found his groove here the last two games. I know they didn't win game 5, but he was dominant in that game, and then he was outstanding again yesterday.
I just think ultimately I'm just going to say he's going to be awesome. Yep. I'm going to assume SGA does good things, and it's really, to me, it just boils down to the others. What three guys on both teams is going to step up, hit timely shots?
Oh, it's huge, yeah.
That you can rely on. And to your NBA basketball dirt stuff.
God, if they win on Sunday, it's going to be so fun on Monday.
I mean, I'll say this. You certainly will throw it in my face, and I will have deserved it. But also, like, you just picked the best player in the game, and you were like, I'll take him.
Well, how quick was the series going to go when it started?
I think Swag said 5.
Yeah. I believe it was said 5 games on this show. Yeah, not even Swag. A contest. Okay,
I said it would be an all-timer.
OKC's going to steamroll them.
Go check
Denver
the tape.
Has no chance of winning this series.
Go check the tape. I said this thing's going the distance.
It's that easy to pick the best player. Why didn't you do it?
Who says I didn't? What are you misremembering?
I can't wait for... God, I hope they win. Monday's good. I already got my whole thing planned out.
I hate you. You're...
I got a game plan in my head.
I got duck baseball
dirt
right now. He's either going to win on Monday or he's going to not care.
Well, you won 68 games. You should win the series. You're the best team in the history of the regular season. They got a former PIL coach coaching them in the playoffs.
I'm torn because...
Who looks like the kid from Mad TV. That's their head coach right now.
He does look like the logo of Mad TV.
He looks like the logo of Mad TV.
Oh, my God.
He is their head coach. That's who's coaching the Nuggets.
What's that kid's name? The logo?
Alfred E. Newman.
He does... Oh, my God. I've been trying to place that face, and I couldn't place it.
He looks identical to that kid.
Oh, he also looks like the Tiger King's husband.
He does. Yeah, he does. That's a good poll.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, the toothless guy.
The toothless guy.
Yeah.
He does kind of look like the Tiger King's husband in the Mad TV logo.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our next cartoon we need. We need Adelman, Mad TV guy, husband from Tiger King.
That'd be a great poll question if you could put pictures as poll answers. Mad TV logo or Tiger King husband?
He does look exactly like
husband
that guy.
Or lover? Either way, looks like one of those two.
Yeah.
Game 7 Sunday injected into our veins. Thank you, God, we got a Game 7. That's all we ask for as sports fans. I'm excited for this. Dirt is not. Next on The Fan. We will talk with Shane Riordan in Chicago for the Daily Ticker today. On the Caleb stuff. Also, how's he doing? We haven't talked to Riordan in a long time. Excited for the Game 6 tonight in New York. We'll get to that. But I'm Yesterday, I got excited for something, and I could hear that stupid chuckle in my brain.
You can't help yourself. It's okay. You fly your freak flag. You do it, buddy. You go out. You be loud and proud. Let's see what you got.
How jacked are we for the draft coming up and all the pre-draft workouts?
It took one interview of a guy mentioning a player, and he's 6'8", he's 220.
It's not just any player here, Dirt, okay? It's maybe the future.
This is our year.
I didn't say that. This player, though, Swag toyed with this player, and then our interview guest, Tyler Metcalf.
He did.
Yep.
Talked about him. He was being interviewed yesterday at the end of the draft combine. Carter Bryant. Was asked, what kind of player are you? Who do you watch?
Scrubbing is almost like a progression. Like, early in the league, I feel like I'm a guy that can guard multiple positions, obviously. I want to be able to start 1 through 5. I feel like I'm capable of guarding 1 through 4. Now, obviously, I need to get a little bit stronger, but eventually I see myself being the guy that can guard all 5 positions on the floor. So I would say I watch a lot of Tumadi Kamara right now, Trey Murphy. I watch Herb Jones, Drew Holiday, Derek White. But I see myself becoming one of the stars in this league. So
damn right you do.
And tell them that I watch a lot of film on Kyrie, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum as well. So I understand there's a progression to get to that point, but knowing that I'm capable of knowing that as well.
Kyrie Irving with Tumani Kamara defense length. Just, I mean,
we got the next Michael Jordan with the 11th overall
pick.
You got a kid that is enthusiastic about developing and playing defense in the NBA. That's where you start. Like, coaches love hearing that. Now, is it rhetoric from him? Was he coached up, or is that honestly what he's got in his veins? We'll see.
He seemed pretty, calmly talking about it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, look, you never know. You never know with prospects, but I do chuckle at this time every year. This is the guy. We got Caleb Swanigan. Look at him move the ball. He's a first-round pick.
All right.
Martell Webster's got the prettiest jump shot that I've ever seen.
Pride of Happy Valley.
We do this every year, man.
No, hold on. Hold on.
Nasir Little would have been a lottery pick if he came back another year, you know.
I'm not going old shit.
He's an elite
here.
Athlete, okay? Have you seen him? He could jump out of the gym.
By the way, R.I.P. Caleb Swanigan, why did we bring up Biggie?
Well, I'm just bringing up first-round picks. That's all I'm doing.
Well, look, all I'm saying is I'm excited to add a piece.
I remember getting excited to add Harry Giles. I was once this Blazer fan, too.
Okay.
And then I looked in the mirror and I said, you're better than this. You could do better than this.
I didn't say that this piece is going to determine if we're winning the championship next year. But having a rangy, athletic perimeter player who's, what, was he 19? Is he 20?
Yeah, he's played 19. 1 year in college.
Yeah, he's 19 years old.
Who shot 37% from 3 there.
Just give me
He'll develop.
He will turn 20 in November. He will turn 20 years old in November.
There you go.
Yes. I'm just excited about the idea of it.
Oh, I mean, of course you are. You're always excited because it's a crapshoot. You're rolling the dice, and this kid could turn into the next big thing in the NBA. That's the beautiful part about the NBA.
I don't know
draft.
If he will be the next big thing in the NBA, a nice role, guys, doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. I also feel like our team is built of nothing but role guys, so we're adding another role guy to a team of role guys.
That means we're ready for the superstar with a role guy.
Then it's easy to go get one of those, so we'll just go find one whenever we're ready. I mean, SGA was the 11th overall pick. Like, there is some.
Clay Thompson.
Hello. There's been good with Sabonis. Like, there's been good ones. I'm not acting as if there's zero chance you can find somebody. I do throw cold water on the enthusiasm, though, this time of year, because we do this quite often in Portland, where you hear the interview or you see the workout video, you see the measurements, and you just drool over what a player will be. I do think it's important to remind people with a guy like this, I'd be fine if that's what they do with the 11th overall pick. I also, like, according to everybody that we're talking to, including Metcalf yesterday and Swag, who watched him a lot this year, it's a project. He's a 19-year-old kid who doesn't he doesn't have an offensive game outside of spot-up shooting and three, can't really handle the rock, can't really go to the hoop
ball handling yet. Will be the thing he's got to work on
so
the
we
most.
Got a more athletic Al-Farouq Aminu to start, and you just hope that he can shoot the ball consistently from three. So I just, there's a caveat there of, this idea, he's not going to come in to be an impact guy right away.
So who, I guess what you'd have to do, and we have to play this game as it goes along, we'll see the pre-draft workout list, it's going to be all these names.
Yeah.
Who kind of fits their type?
I mean, this guy fits their type of what they're looking for.
He does fit their type, but also, Coward does too, and Coward actually comes in with a need that the team doesn't have.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a shooter.
Yes.
Shot 40% from three.
His big thing will be how healthy is he? What impacts from the injury?
He had a great combine. Everybody is ranting and raving about him. The No Ceilings guy did a live pod yesterday. I watched it, and they were talking about his workouts and him as a prospect. And, you know, a lot of positives. And so, like, this team is stuck in a spot where they want to swing for a big fish. And so maybe it's a Carter Bryant type while having to work on some things. Or do you go for the more polished offensive player? Because let's look around the roster. Who's shooting for them?
The shooting
is terrible.
Yeah, outside of Anfernee Simons, who I still hope is not on the team next year, but that's a different conversation. If he is traded, then where do you go for
after offense? Anfernee Simons, who's the best three-point shooter on the team?
God, percentage-wise or just gut feeling of who I trust?
Let's go with your gut feeling very quickly.
Gut feeling of who I trust?
I'm going to look up the three-point numbers to actually see who is.
I know Shaden had a horrific year shooting the three. I think he was barely 30%. Scoot, obviously not. Avdija?
If you take Avdija's first month out,
yeah,
probably him.
It's him or Kamara, gotta be, right? I mean, Kamara was pretty good catch and shoot three.
Okay, so I'm not going to count the number one player. I'm actually not even going to count the number two player.
Because we got such small attempt kind of thing?
It's Thybulle and Walker.
Yeah,
okay, right, they didn't play enough.
No.
Number one was Kamara.
Yeah.
37.5%.
He had a good year.
He had a huge jump from last year. I hope people remember that.
We never get his stats wrong on the show.
Nah, how could you? Denny Avdija was second, tied with Jeremy Grant.
Yeah.
And Anfernee Simons was barely below them.
Yeah.
But Grant didn't play a whole lot.
No, he missed a ton of time.
And after that, can you guess who's after Ant?
Oh, God, is it a big?
No.
Not a big? Who else do we even have? Some rant.
Scooter!
What did he shoot from three this year?
35.4%. Shaden way down there at 31.
Shaden had a rough year shooting the ball. I know that.
Banton was better from three than Shaden.
Delano Banton. Yeesh. He's untouchable.
Donovan was barely behind Shaden in percentage.
That's not good, Bob.
God.
It's not good.
They need shooting.
We need shooters.
I'm just saying, you know,
where's Hassan Whiteside when you need him? You know?
We can get a good role player. That's all I'm saying. I'm just excited for that. I didn't say it's going to mean they're going to make the playoffs. Doesn't change the fact that I'm not frustrated that they didn't do what the Spurs did.
Took 2 days.
I didn't buy season tickets.
Pulled you right back in.
God, I can't say anything.
Right
on this
when
show.
You think they're out, they pull you back in.
Everything's held against me. Let's go to the Daily Ticker. Enough of this. We'll get to game six, New York. And Boston, it's going to be interesting energy inside Madison Square Garden tonight. We'll talk about that. Dirt wants to spray the line. He's back into spraying the line every week
now.
Dude,
we had a parlay last night. We're riding a heater. I'm riding the heater into the weekend. Let's do it again.
We'll get to all of that. But coming up next is the Daily Ticker. Shane Riordan, our friend in Chicago, will join us coming up next for the Ticker on the Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. They invite you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest location on the south end of Lincoln City, overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Got the PGA Championship on in here. We always have a race to see whose TV is going to be ahead of the other one, and you currently got a sizable lead on me right now, and I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, but what you do is you end up going back to the home screen, and then you're like, it's like a restart, and then you get ahead of me.
You're going to fist pump over there, but my TV is going to be delayed, so I'm not going to know what you're fist pumping about. I got to turn around and look at your TV. It's a whole thing.
What's Bryson doing with this beard goatee deal?
Isn't it funny how golfers have that? We do this in other sports as well, but the aesthetics of a guy, I just, like, Aaron Rye's near the top of the leaderboard. Nobody knows that name. I don't blame you. I don't like Aaron Rye. You know why? He wears two gloves. And they're dark gloves, too.
I just don't get why you need two.
It's like a quarterback that wears two gloves. I lose trust immediately in you.
Yeah.
And wearing two gloves, I just automatic judge.
Have you ever worn two gloves what it's like?
Only in rainy conditions, I'll wear rain gloves. That's it.
Yeah, but a
normal round of golf,
frozen, no. You know, if it's like super ice cold.
Cold, you're playing early
in the
morning.
I'll wear those kind of gloves.
Yeah, you know, try and warm your hands up a little bit. Outside of that, dude, you look like a bitch.
Yeah.
You kind of do.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's go to Chicago, talk to our good buddy Shane Ryder. He is our Chicago expert.
About time he answered the phone.
He books guests for you. That's what he does. That's what his thing is. He's not answering the phone. We call him at Shane underscore Ryder on Twitter. Our Chicago.
I was on another call. I'm sorry.
Come on.
Wait, you booked an interview before our interview?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Who
I
does
did.
That?
I'm sorry. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
We have a clock.
Hey, we love you.
Come
buddy.
On, man.
We still love you, Shane. I do miss,
dude,
though.
I get clock.
Yeah. Can we get to where your cooking content is gone? I feel like I'm not getting enough cooking content.
No
you.
More Shane's meat on my Instagram
what
feed
happened?
Anymore. It's like, yeah, I got a hot girlfriend and a cool dog.
Yeah.
I don't really eat anymore. It's the depression.
Okay.
And that makes me like, no. I don't want to eat. So I do like peanut butter and jelly.
Wow.
I bet it's a damn good peanut butter and jelly, though.
Very fancy peanut butter and jelly. I'll do it.
All right. Yeah. Shane Ryder, our guest, good buddy, our correspondent in Chicago.
I used to cook steak in my... I'm not kidding. This was 2 years ago.
We sent him pictures of our meat.
I used to cook steak in my kitchen, yeah. And I'd watch his Instagram story, and he'd be like, I'm cooking steak tonight, and it would be perfect. And then I'd compare my steak to his steak, and I'd be like, there's enough pink in here. I think he'd approve.
Yeah, I sent a steak to him one time, and a bunch of listeners made fun of me, and then I never felt comfortable showing my meat in public again, so I just stopped doing it. But I thought it tasted fine. Hey, what's going on?
What cut is your favorite? Both of you guys.
If any choice doesn't matter how I feel, like my ultimate cut, I mean, come on, ribeye, bone in.
Yeah, bone in, ribeye. Okay. Yeah,
got it.
I'm
yeah.
a big tomahawk yeah. guy too. Whenever I get a tomahawk in me, I feel fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Love that.
All right. What's your favorite cut of meat?
Hanger.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hanger's a good one. It's Hanger. Versatile.
That's a good call.
Yeah, love hanger.
I love where this is going. Let's talk about this Bears story from yesterday, Shane. You're a big Bears guy, and there's like almost multiple different kind of pinpoint, you know, offshoots you could go here. First is them being open with Seth Wickersham over a year ago about this. Then there's the Bears angle of they didn't really coach him in his rookie year. Like, what the hell's going on there? Caleb maybe nuking the city to try and get out. Like, when you read through this and you see this story, what's the biggest takeaway from you?
No, I mean, coaches don't give that much guidance to players on tape as people think they do. I don't think that Shane Waldron was a good OC, and I don't think that Matt Eberflus was a good head coach. But what Caleb thought he was getting into with the Bears was not what NFL head coaches and coordinators do normally, right? I think that Ben Johnston and his staff, they're going to be much better than what they were, but I think Caleb might have had like a false interpretation of what coaches were going into the NFL before he went into the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know Carl Williams a little bit. You've had him on before on the radio, so I'm just curious, like, is it one of those he proved to be right ultimately, but still not a good look situation?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I love a good football dad, you know? Like, Carl is a very good football dad. And in Caleb's case, he didn't have an agent. I would much rather have my dad, who knows me, represent me more than an agent would, right? So I think that Caleb made the right choice in having his dad, like, fight for him. But he knows what's right for his son more than an agent would, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think what's interesting here is this kind of report came out about a year ago when Cowherd had said it. And I know you guys talked to him over there and he kind of walked it back a little bit, but I'm just curious what the overall feeling and thought was the fan base initially from the report of looking for a stake in ownership type stuff, a percentage split, and all that. Like, were people worried about this when it happened and then it went away and now we're worried again?
No. Like, he was just a young kid who was, like, concerned about where he'd go. And there should be plenty of concerns about, like, how the Bears run their team. I get that completely. George McCaskey is a good dude. He's not a great owner. Kevin Warren is a really good dude. He is someone who's never run an NFL team before. All of these people know how to run football, but when it comes to the Bears, like a team that doesn't spend money and doesn't really know how to, I don't blame Caleb for being worried about coming to the Bears at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a wrap. I mean, their history kind of speaks for itself. I'll let you go on this one, Shane. One of my favorite tweets I've seen here in the last couple of weeks is you mic dropping having the Pope's phone number, and I have a follow-up to that. So, one.
Pope Leo.
First, what? Huh? That's question one. Question two, like, have you attempted a phone call to that number?
I
need a follow-up here.
Yeah.
No, I've not talked to Leo since he was, is it elected?
I think so, yeah. I think that works.
Pope elected?
Yeah.
Since he was made Pope. I've talked to his brothers, but I've not talked to him. It's a weird thing. Like, when someone's local, and I've worked in media outside of sports in Chicago, so you kind of have those guys' numbers. He's going to be great, and it's so nice to have, like, a White Sox fan as the Pope.
It went viral that he was at they had caught him on camera at the World Series. He's, like, standing in the stands.
Yeah, the Sun-Times found that video. It's awesome. It's so cool. I love having a Pope from Chicago.
I just feel like there's a window here where the White Sox win two series in a row, and it's like, how about our Sox, huh, Leo? Hope all is well. God bless. Like, just a window to send a text.
That's a really bad baseball team, and they're good right now.
Yes.
Like, I don't think there's any coincidence that they got good once the Pope, who's a White Sox fan, got elected, quote-unquote, as a Pope.
His Holiness, man. He's a powerful dude. Shane Riordan, go give him a follow on Twitter, @Shane_Riordan. He's our Chicago correspondent. We love having him on the show. I hope I get to see your meet again at some point soon, because I miss it. And thanks, buddy, man. It was great catching up with you.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it.
There you go. Shane from Chicago. Great stuff. He's got the Pope's phone number. He sent out a tweet when the Pope was elected.
He also has Carl Williams' phone number, and he shot a message to him. And I don't know if Carl Williams ever got back to him. I think yesterday was a tough day for Carl Williams to respond to people who are like, yo.
Probably getting blown up a lot.
I would think so.
A lot of texts, a lot of phone calls coming through to old Carl Williams. So Shane from Chicago, one of our favorites. Great chef. I hope he starts posting some cooking content again soon.
Same.
The Daily Ticker Juno is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Pelican Brewing Company.
Did you see the release?
They invite you. Well, hold on. Let me finish my reading. I'll let you get to the release. They want you to come to one of their four coastal locations. They got one in Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one at the south end of Lincoln City overlooking Siletz Bay. Pelican Brewing Company, they are born at the beach.
They got a new release coming out.
Root beer, a cream soda. I am eagerly awaiting trying, as a guy who has had seltzers grown on him, I'm eagerly awaiting to try their new hard hops infused seltzer. The blackberry
I need the cream soda ASAP.
You want cream soda?
Cream
soda
is the most underrated soda, and if I drink one once in a blue moon.
That's a hot take.
Oh.
That's a hot take right there. You're coming to takes with me here today.
You don't think cream soda is underrated?
Properly rated? Properly rated. I think it's properly rated.
Cream soda's immaculate.
It's cream soda underrated. There you go. There's our Daily Ticker. A little more NFL talk back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. You can find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. Got some funny texts I wanted to read. I do have a few NFL notes I want to get to, including why does a team have to do this? But we were talking before we brought Shane on about some Blazer draft prospects. Couple of these made me chuckle.
You know what? I'm just so tired of being honest with people about being excited about sports. I'm sorry I care about our team. I'm sorry I want them to add a good player. That's my bad.
You be loud. You be proud.
No, that's my bad.
You do you, boo.
Coming up next, Dirt bitches about the Blazers.
One listener chimed in, F yeah, purgatory talk, middle round draft picks that won't play on this bad team, hoping for the 10th seed injected straight into my veins.
Oh, yeah.
Another one, doesn't Blazer fan love every draft pick?
No, I don't. Oh. I hated the Zach Collins one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot to give up for old Zach Collins. Bam. Franchise cornerstone, though. Yeah. Franchise cornerstone.
Kevin McHale, Rasheed Wallace.
I can play Blazer draft pick history with just about anybody, and all of the dudes that were supposed to be the next great thing. And
how many have we had over the years? How many next great things have we had in this city? How many next?
How long
MJs?
Have they been drafting players?
He's got a lot of them over the years.
I don't think, has there been a draft where fans haven't been like, yeah, dude, this is the guy?
I think there's always one initially. Like, I think the Collins one, people have the initial takeaway of like, wait, what? Three first-round picks for Zach Collins? That's what we're doing right now? But then after 48 hours, because it's all we got, we talk ourselves into it. Mm. I mean, look, I've been there before. I talked myself into Mario Hezonja after a preseason game. You know, he was a lottery pick.
I do. I remember that. Yeah.
I did that. I've been this fan. This is why I'm trying to help people. I'm trying.
What was his name?
Nick
Stauskas won me $100 by Marcus Greaves had to pay me $100.
Beating the Lakers.
Nick Stauskas went on.
Walter Berry was going to be the savior of the franchise back in the day.
Walter Berry was the
guy. I think he was a six pick, six or seven.
I mean, look,
out of St. John's. Yes.
I will chuckle every time this kind of stuff gets brought up on the show, but I want you to you fly your freak flag, dude. Anytime you
want to
get excited about a prospect,
you do
it.
I want him to find that diamond in the rough.
Do you think it's a deep draft?
Yeah, compared to some of the other drafts we've seen in years past, I do.
So I guess my only perspective here isn't like, guys, this is what it's going to be to make them a contender. They have so many more things to do.
Yeah.
Trades that need to be executed. I hated how they handled the end of the season.
Kiki was going to be our savior. Sebastian Telfair was the second coming. Quintel Woods, baby.
I'm just saying, like, I agree with everybody on all the negatives about the franchise. I'm just simply pointing out if it's a much deeper draft than the last few years,
there's a piece to be found.
There
at
maybe
11.
Is a piece to be found there.
Here's the reality too about the NBA. This is kind of my Rory McIlroy take, although I had a better track record with him than I do the Blazers. And that is like if you just keep picking him to win, he's good. Like at some point he's gonna win one of these things. I don't know when, but at some point he will. If you keep telling me every prospect's the next great thing, like at some point you're gonna be right. History just tells you, like, at some point you're going to land somebody that you didn't see coming. And
Charlotte Hornets, line two, with like a word.
Well,
that's not true every time, Dirt.
That's true.
Sometimes you get stuck with the $200
million
player.
Until this year, they got the fourth overall pick. Maybe they get the best guy in the draft. And here come the little old Hornets. You never know. They're flapping their wings and they're stinging you next season.
I think what's happened on this program is because of how loud and angry you've become, I'm now kind of seen by a lot in
the
office and outside the office as Mr. Homer. Always positive Blazer bro, and I'm like, no. I just don't share the same vengeance and rage as my co-host on all things Blazers.
I did chuckle. I probably shouldn't do this, but sometimes I do enjoy doing it from time to time. I delved into our YouTube videos yesterday just to see, like, hey, what of our content from the show has been posted into our Window Into the Fan, brought to you by Window Nation. And
way to remember the sponsor. I would have not nailed that.
It was pretty funny to read. The first one I pulled up was somebody commenting, isn't it hilarious how Blazer fans have been angry at Dirt all year? And now every national writer who covers a league saying anything about the Blazers is echoing the same exact thing he's been saying for a year. And I was like, you know what? Good for you. And then I popped on the next video and I'm like, what do the comments say on this one? Multiple guys. This Dirt's got to get fired, okay? He doesn't know what he's talking about.
They want you to be fired?
He doesn't know what he's doing. Wow. How's this guy still got a job? And I was like, you know what? Good for you, buddy.
Better you than me.
Yeah, man. You want to absorb my salary? I think it works that way.
Ooh, that would feel weird.
That would feel a little weird.
Why is Sprague solo now? Well,
you know, it doubled him up.
It was Dirt or the money.
He's living great now.
I chose the money.
A couple thoughts here. Martell Webster was the next Ray Allen. He was. You can correct me if he's wrong. Somebody said, I believe Billy Ray Bates was one of our next saved hero franchise players.
Don't you badmouth Billy Ray Bates.
I'm not badmouthing. I'm just a listener
Swag
saying.
Swag will literally fight
you. I have a soft spot in my heart. Hard for Billy Ray Bates.
That's your Blazer fandom right there.
Oh,
that's when
man.
The inner Blazer fandom comes out of the small market, you know, golly gee
New
Willigers.
Year's
Billy
Day,
Ray
Philadelphia
Bates and Jason
Sixers beat him at the buzzer, half court impound from Kermit Washington to Billy Ray at the rim, and they beat, I'm trying to remember if it was the year that the Sixers won or the year after the Sixers won the title.
Billy
I can't remember if it was 83 or 84.
Sounds like the heart's not the only soft spot you have for Billy Ray, you know what I mean?
No, that's not soft, man.
What? I think we're talking about two different areas.
That just took a weird turn, man. I didn't see that coming.
Cat pervert.
All right, crunch time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99.
You know, some shows are killing off Billy Ray Bates, and we're talking about having sex with Billy Ray Bates.
This is true.
There's two different programs there.
You know, you gotta find your mojo out there. They got locations low at Beaverton Division Center in Vancouver. Crunch time, crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour.
Swag
of the show.
Just figuring out if Charlie's sexually attracted to Billy Ray Bates.
I like this Billy guy. Daddy's making me feel weird.
What do you mean, Jason?
Nothing. Never mind. Was it the afro that did it? Was that what turned you on?
No, I think it was he was full headband and wristband early too, on. And he levitated the way Shaden Sharp does.
Wristband. Do you know? Going, huh?
Do you know how long Billy Ray Bates' NBA career was?
It was not very long.
Do you remember?
7 years. 7 years.
His full career might have been that. I think he was only with Portland for like 3 years at most.
Okay, 6 years.
His NBA career.
4 years.
Was 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a flash in the pan.
He played 187 career games.
So was he was our Jeremy Lin.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. He averaged 11 points right out of the gate in Portland in 79-80.
Yep.
Year two was 13.8, just shy of 4. Look at that. He's going in the right direction, shooting 50% from the floor. Having a great year, field goal percentage-wise. Next year, over 11. And then we dealt him. Why'd we deal him? Why'd we trade Billy Ray Bates?
Some off-the-court issues.
He had some problems off the floor.
I'm not going to add any context to that or the chance we have to apologize publicly or be sued.
Yeah.
What happened to the name Billy Ray?
I don't know.
Billy Ray Valentine?
We had a lot of Billy Ray
Billy
Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah, a lot of Billy Rays back in
Billy
the day.
Billy Ray Bates?
Now, was that the legal name or did they just people call him Billy Ray? Or the name was Billy
Ray. That's what he went by.
Okay.
I think a lot of them are a William Ray situation, but they went
but
by Billy.
That's what he went by.
If you were a William, would you want to be a Willie or a Billy?
I think Billy.
Mm. I think Billy, too.
Yeah.
I think I go Billy.
I think Willie puts you in like the Scottish yardkeeper for Simpsons category.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a connotation with Willie's, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. There's that.
Now, you might lean into that.
You could. If your last name's Johnson, you could really play into it.
I mean, imagine how Swag would have felt if his name was Willie Ray Gates.
I don't eat the wiener.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We got the Knicks pucker factor tonight. Let's play the pucker meter game for the New York Knicks as they host the Celtics for a chance to go to the conference finals. We will spread the line today, damn it, whether you like it or not. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line, and you can get your fake sponsors in. We won a parlay last night. We're riding a heater. We're not going to walk away from the table. We'll see what we cook up coming up at 8:30. Talk a little bit more about Game 7 in Oklahoma City this weekend. It's a load of final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt Sprague on 1080 The Fam.